good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cedarstrom. I'm here with my co-host, Pastor Butch Paul, as we bring you our opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events for Friday, May 13th. It's Friday the 13th, 2022. Good afternoon, Butch.
Hello, Melody. How you doing today?
I'm doing great.
I'm glad to hear that so much. A beautiful day. Went to the gym today and worked out a little bit. I feel good.
Good.
I did.
You know, I just saw this headline that said U.S. believes Russia plans to engineer a more pliant population in part by processing Ukrainians through camps, officials say. The U.S. assessed they have developed a plan, a more pliant population, in part through the forcible relocation of civilians. The U.S. ambassador to the Organization for Security and Cooperation in Europe said Thursday. Isn't that what they're doing to the illegal aliens?
only on a much bigger scale, I'm sure.
Aren't they relocating,
absolutely.
To various parts
all the country.
Country?
Yep.
And this guy described detention centers. And that included an explanation of why they're called filtration camps. Aren't our illegal aliens held in camps and
cages
and so forth? So, what is the difference? Do you know?
Well, the difference is we're supposed to be the good guys, and news media will tell this like the rest of the bad guys, and people don't know any better. That's the difference. Our people don't know the truth. They're too near the truth to know anything that's going on. So we've been brainwashed in this program and in this nation for many, many, many years. It's just getting worse.
Yep, it's hard to tell the good guys from the bad guys anymore, right?
It really is. Yeah, and it's getting so, unless you're really there to see it, you really don't know what to believe.
True. Although I think we should take a trip to Ukraine.
Hey, most of the congressmen, the people in Congress are. Why not us? Pelosi's been over a couple times already.
You think we could write it off?
Probably. Yeah, we should probably be there covering her tail on something she did. I'm sure most of them are. But, you know, when it comes right down to it, if I had to choose which side I believe, it wouldn't be our side.
That is a sad... I don't believe either side.
Well, I don't particularly either. If I had to choose between the two, it wouldn't be our side, knowing the history of what we've been through in my lifetime. Not before I was even born, as they had it, but now since I've been around, we've been lied into how many wars?
I know.
So
we're heading into another. Although
yes,
I did see where there might have been possible. Was it talks maybe?
I didn't see that. I don't know. I didn't see that.
Let me see if I can find in here. But anyway, I think people want to start. U.S. Russia defense chiefs talk after a long wait. Pentagon chief speaks with Russian counterpart. My question in the war is between Ukraine and Russia. Why is the U.S. in there talking to Russia,
Well, just a silly Ukraine question. Is basically a satellite of the U.S., you know that.
Yes, I do.
And you know, now we're seeing, I know you want to get to the gold and stuff, but Finland announces plan to join NATO as Boris pledges U.K. soldiers to defend Finland and Sweden from Russia. Now, folks, listen to this before you say anything. Get off track. I want to cover this, and I want to make a couple comments. The traditionally military-neutral Scandinavian country of Finland has announced its intention to join the NATO military alliance in response to the full-scale invasion of Ukraine by Russia, with neighboring Sweden, also normally neutral, while expected to follow suit. The expansion of the North Atlantic Treaty Organization and the European Union was cited by Moscow as one of the central motivating factors in the February invasion of Ukraine by the Russian military. Now, folks, that's true. However, it appears that this so-called special military operation has resulted in more expansion by the West. After months of speculation, Finnish Prime Minister Sanna Marin and President Sauli Nestisto announced on Thursday morning they would be seeking NATO membership without delay. NATO membership would strengthen Finland's security. As a member of NATO, Finland would strengthen the entire defense system. Finland must apply for NATO membership without delay. We hope that the national steps needed to make this decision will be taken rapidly within the next few days, the leader said in a joint statement. And I'll say this. We have been warned. We have been warned. Putin said that we will not let this happen. Now, let me make a comment before everybody flies off the wall and says, well, they shouldn't do that. Why shouldn't they? Most people probably listen to this program building. A lot of them were not around whenever Kennedy had the missile situation in Cuba back in, 62, 63. Russia was going to put missiles in Cuba, and President Kennedy said, we won't allow it. We will go to war with you first. Russia back down. Now, we would not let Cuba, 90 miles off our Florida coast, have missiles, why would Russia want to have Ukraine, Finland, Sweden, right on the border? Right on the border, having military equipment that's pointing at him. What is the difference here? All the difference is we're the good guys. We would never attack Russia. We would never do anything like that. We would never instigate a war. We would never tell lies to the American public to make us go to war. Wouldn't happen under Roosevelt. Didn't happen in World War I. Didn't happen in Vietnam. So, no, we're the good guys. We're always the innocent side. We're always the one that gets attacked first. If you believe that, I'm going to sell you a big piece of oceanfront property in Arizona here in just a little bit, too. But anyway, go ahead.
How much?
I had to say that. Bugging me. I remember Kennedy, as a young boy, made him kicking him out of Cuba.
Yep.
And now we want to totally surround them with NATO. We wonder why they're worried about that.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I know somebody that they used to monitor messages in and out of the White House. That was his, when he was in the service, that was his, position. And
right.
He told me, he said, you had no idea how close we came to
Yes.
a situation.
Yes.
And he said he had his wife, they actually had, because they weren't allowed to tell anybody or, even family members how close it was, but they had a secret code created between them, between the two of them. And so if he said it, then she had plans, a specific place to go and everything. So it was that close. And I don't think people really realize how close it was.
Or how close we could be now, even.
Or how close we are now. Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go ahead and talk about gold, how close we are to it hitting 1800. It was down again $10 today at 1811. Great buying opportunity, folks. Strong dollar is the culprit hitting the price of gold. And, of course, everybody on mainstream media, is turning, whoa, look what gold, they're just piece of work. Silver is up 41 cents at $21.16. Platinum was basically unchanged at $948. Palladium was up 30 at 2010. USDX today did pull back just a tiny bit, 0.21 at 104.54. Crude oil was up $4.27 at 110, and that's WTI. The paper markets today, the NASDAQ popped 3%. The Dow jumped 400 points, 466 to be exact, almost 500, 32,196. The S&P was up 93 points, over 2% at 4,023. The NASDAQ was closing in on 4% at 434 points to the upside at 11,805. Asia was green all across the board, 2% pretty much, except for China. Europe was positive, all 2%. Now, question, Butch. What made the whole world financial markets pop to the green side today, most of them over 2%? Whoa. What was the common denominator?
I wish I had the answer for that. Then I figured the whole puzzle out. I don't
know. So it's usually there is something, some sort of good news or something that, maybe it could be the talks supposedly between U.S. and the Russia that gave the markets a big pop, this afternoon and took them and, well, you know, maybe the report had come out yesterday that hit the European and Asian markets. So, you know, but that's it. So I guess you can expect that if there was something that did calm that. But then why would oil go? You would think that if the agreement was that close that all these nations and countries would be positive in their markets, you would see oil drop, you would think.
You would think that, yes. Nothing in the last few years has made any sense in the financial market. It really hasn't. Nothing seems to really bother the stock market at all. I mean, it'll have times it'll drop down and maybe a couple thousand points. But just remember, it's over 30,000, so a couple thousand points is not huge.
No, it isn't.
So, but when you have some way that they're pulling it back every time, and I don't know how they're doing it, but they're doing it.
Called the plunge protection team. I mean, hey, you got you got all these, you know, they work in concert together. They can a lot of money can move around pretty quick. You got multinational corporations buying their debt. I mean, there's all kinds of tricks that they know how to do to make markets go up. I mean, the Dow only has how many companies? 30. So it's not that big of a deal there. These tech companies out of the Nasdaq. I don't know what the cryptos did today. I don't know if I can pull.
I got some information on that in a minute. They didn't do well at all. They didn't do well.
Yeah.
At all.
Well, they got hammered, so.
Yeah, we'll cover that in a little bit because it's powerful.
Well, the one thing, the world's biggest stable coin, it did regain their dollar peg after $3 billion of withdrawals. So, but, you know, hey, when you have people like Elon Musk and all these guys that have billions and billions of dollars, they can do anything in any market at any time. So, but anyway, that's pretty much it. I think I forgot to do the 10-year yield. Let's pull that up and see where that's at. That moved up 0.122, a 2.939 on the 10-year yield. So, that was pretty much, it was kind of a, you know, the big news today, Butch, was Musk put a hold on Twitter. It's like, oh, for Pete's sake, get him, you know? And, but there really wasn't too much, shocky news or anything happening today.
No, there wasn't. No, I've just got some odds and ends. I do want to start a couple of things that's not financial, but I think important. You remember Randy Weaver, don't you?
I do.
He passed away so many years ago. Yeah, he passed away a couple of days ago, 74 years old. Now, I'm going to just read this because I think it's important. This family was murdered, and I'll prove in a second from what the outcome was of the case. Randy Weaver, the survivalist known for his role in the Ruby Ridge standoff with the FBI, has died at age of 74. That's just a year older than me, so. Sarah, his daughter, confirmed the news on Facebook on Thursday, 29 years ago. Can you believe that, Melody?
No.
Wow. U.S. Marshal shot 14-year-old Samuel Weaver and his dog at Ruby Ridge. Samuel was shot by Deputy U.S. Marshal William Francis Deegan, who was killed by Harris a moment later. The day after Randy Weaver's wife, Vicki, was shot in the head by an FBI sniper while she held her 10-month-old daughter in her arms. Harris was also injured during the standoff. Randy Weaver and Kevin Harris were acquitted of all charges related to the defense of their Ruby Ridge home. So obviously they did nothing wrong because they were railroading right into prison and piping the death for this. But I just want to make that mention. I only got to meet Randy Weaver once. He's kind of a little guy. And I didn't get to know him very well, but he stood his ground, protected his home, and it cost me his son and his wife. So that's kind of sad, but it is what it is. Oh. On the way, some good news.
What did he die from? It didn't say where he died from.
Mm-hmm. Not that I saw. A three-judge panel for the 9th U.S. District Circuit Court, which is generally very on the left side of things, of appeals affirmed the rights of young adults in the 18 to 20 range to buy semi-automatic rifles. The appellate court remanded the Jones versus Bonta case back to the district court for further proceedings, a big case, big win for the Second Amendment Foundation. So they said it's okay. For the 18, 20-year-olds to own semi-automatic rifles. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I was 19. They threw me a full automatic weapon called an M16 at the time. They trained me how to use it. So at 19, I was allowed to carry to have a fully automatic weapon. But they had to go to court to make sure that the same ones that carry them in foreign countries to so-called defend their nation can carry full automatic weapons and machine guns, but they're not allowed to own them in this country. That's a good ruling for common sense. So I just want to make that point. You want anything to that, Melody?
No, I don't.
I mean, some of these things have got to be spoken of from a point of view of common sense. How come boys 18 and a little bit over can die in the jungles of Vietnam and other places carrying weapons that are totally illegal in this country to possess, even much less to use, but they want to take away from us while we're here? Doesn't make any sense to me. But here's something I read too that you probably know about. This really irked me when I saw what's happening in the country. Imported infant formula could help lift U.S. supply in weeks, Washington said in Reuters. And I'll read this and I want to share something else. The Food and Drug Administration will outline a plan next week to streamline imports of infant formula. The agency's chief said on Friday, and that the action, along with others, would help dramatically improve the supply in the U.S. in a matter of weeks. FDA Commissioner Robert Califf, in a series of posts on Twitter, said the health regulator would work with the manufacturers and others to ensure baby formula product brought in from overseas meets U.S. safety and other standards. Before going to the next article about this, we can't make food to feed our own children. That's how far the United States has fallen into dependence on other countries. We can't make food to feed our own children. But on top of that, Melody, you probably know this, good old President Biden, illegal migrants first to get pallets of hard-to-find baby formula. This is out of Washington Examiner, folks. The nationwide shortage of baby formula that has sent mothers desperately rushing from store to store has evaded a lucky group of the illegal immigrants detained by the Border Patrol. According to videos posted by the Florida lawmaker, the Biden administration has been shipping pallets of baby formula to migrant holding facilities. They're sending pallets of baby formula to the border, said Republican Representative Kat Kamick in one of the two online postings yesterday. Meanwhile, in our own district at home, we cannot find baby formula, she added, holding a photo of empty shelves where the formula would be. Kamick said that a border agent sent her photographs of the deliveries, and she posted one online. They're receiving pallets and more pallets of baby formula at the border, she said, holding one of the photos showing both Advantage brand formula and Go-Go squeeze of applesauce. This was taken at Ursula Processing Facility in McAllen, Texas, where thousands are being housed and processed and then released. She said the agent told her, "Cat, you would not believe the shipment of what I just brought in. He had been a Border Patrol agent for 30 years, and he had never seen anything quite like this. He is a grandfather, and is saying that his own children can't get baby formula. So we ship it to criminals who are really felons." Folks, just get over this little game here about nicey patty, fuzzy wuzzy stuff. They're felons. They're shipping what we have to felons to feed their children. And I like to see children fed, I really do. But I like to see our children fed too. And the country's got to the point now that they can't even feed their own children. How sad is that?
It was really sad. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading, 1-800-375-4188, or online at DGScoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together, working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver Trading. I'm Melody Cederstrom. 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Make sure you visit our website at dgscoins.com, dgscoins.com. And I just want to let everybody know, I want to thank everyone for letting me know that something happened to our website. And it was just another day in the neighborhood. But it went down. It would show the front page, the first page, the home page, and everything else wasn't connected. So my web guy is working on it. We can't figure out. It's possible it could have been taken down by Google because we were shown as a public website. So we're kind of changing that. And we did some updates on the computer, so that could have happened. So who knows? But all the links were broken, and so we're working on it. And, again, I want to thank everyone for letting us know. And one person in particular, I had a nice conversation with Butch, was Thomas. And he said that, you know, in the beginning of our program, the trumpets play. And his dog likes to sing with the trumpets. So so we do have a reason for playing those trumpets for the animal kingdom as well. So, but I thought that
golly,
was...
you're popular even with the animals.
Even with the animals, so...
Gee.
So anyway, 1-800-375-4188. Well, yesterday, you know, Jerome Powell, we talked about it briefly. I'm just going to mention again, was confirmed for a second term as Fed chair. And you know what's interesting, Butch, is everybody's saying that he started raising rates too late. So, you know, that's he messed up. He screwed up. But yet he gets to keep his job only in Washington. So, It just doesn't get, you know, it just can't get any better than this. And
well, you know, in reality, there's not much he can do. I mean, he can raise rates, and that may put us into a worse condition in some ways. There's really not much mm-hmm. he can do. They've been playing this game for too long and kicking a can down the street. At about ready to end up, and that's why we're talking about the Great Reset, which could happen at any time.
Mm-hmm. I agree. And inflation gave most Americans a 2.6% wage cut. In April.
Yep.
So, not a good thing. Not a good thing. So.
Well, I heard a gentleman the other day on the online say that inflation will hit at least 9%, 9.2% mm-hmm. in April. And they laughed at him. Actually, it was worse than that, folks. According to actual figures here, worse than expected. Again, producer prices hit up 11%. Prices charged by U.S. businesses were up 11% in April compared with a year ago, the fifth straight month of the government's producer price inflation gauge running at or above 10%. The Department of Labor said Thursday that its producer price index for final demand rose 0.5% in April, compared with a month earlier, in line with expectations. But the results for earlier months were revised up, bringing 12-month figure above economists' expectations for a 10.7% rise. 10.7%, Melody. Mm-hmm. That's 10 cents on a dollar, right?
That's, yeah.
So if you buy a $10 item, you're going to pay a dollar more for it, aren't you, this
mm-hmm.
month?
Yes.
Now,
mm-hmm.
count last month's on top of that, you're paying 18% more. So you keep this adds up, folks, every month. It adds up every month. And so when you look at the what's happening, you think, well, that's just 10%. But it doesn't end. If it just ends with 1 month, we can survive it. But it's going on and on and on. It adds up over a period of time. That was like we can see it happening right now. I was listening to another talk show host on Todd's satellite feed. He paid $9 something for a dozen of so-called, I guess you say, natural eggs. Over $9 a dozen.
Mm.
I mean, we're talking about 80 cents an egg here. My goodness. How long can the economy handle that? Comments?
Well, I don't know if you're going to talk about it. Do you have it on your schedule to talk about the how the White House has scrapped oil gas lease sales?
I didn't have to talk about it, but I did hear that. Once you share that, I'm going to get ready to go into the diesel shortages and the price of gas.
Yeah, let's go ahead and hit this one. The Biden administration has canceled oil and gas lease sales in the Gulf of Mexico and Alaska's Cook Inlet. And, of course, that's going to deal another blow to the potential domestic fuel protection, as we, you know, and I said, gas oil went up $3 today. The Interior Department told the Post Thursday that the Cook Inlet lease sale would not move forward because of a lack of industry interest in leasing in the area. In the Gulf of Mexico, the department canceled two lease sales, citing conflicting court rulings that impacted work on these proposed sales. And it goes on and says Biden posed a moratorium on the sale of new leases 1 week after his inauguration, but the order was later blocked by a Louisiana federal judge who granted a preliminary injunction to 13 states that claimed they would suffer irreparable injury from the White House move. Then last month, the Interior Department announced it was restarting the sale of oil and gas leases on federal land, but reduced the amount of land under consideration by 80% and increased the amount of royalties. We talked about this. Energy companies would have to pay the government if they extracted anything of value. So they take away the land and charge them. It's unbelievable what they are doing. And according to the Interior Department as of Thursday, there are 10.9 million acres of offshore federal waters already under lease to industry. Of those, the industry is not producing on more than 3/4. But there was some more little interesting information here. The Pennsylvania U.S. Senate GOP candidate Carla Sands said Joe Biden just canceled oil and gas leases in Alaska and Gulf of Mexico. Gee, it's almost like the Biden administration wants gas prices to go higher.
You reckon? My goodness.
Yep. Yeah.
Now, you're a conspiracy. You're on this conspiracy nest now, aren't you?
Yeah.
Just because all the evidence says you're right, you're a conspiracy. I mean, you're just a conspiracy nut. Even though the evidence points everything you're saying is true, it's actually happening, but it can't be that way. They wouldn't do that to us.
No, you know. But so, I mean, these are all negative consequences to be shutting off oil and gas development. It's just crazy. You know, if the administration had moved forward with the Alaskan lease, it would have covered more than 1 million acres. This was according to The Hill. Wednesday's decision is not the first time leases in the area have been canceled. The Federal Bureau of Ocean Energy scrapping some in 06, 08, and 10. It's... Who are these people?
Well, I don't hear much about that. Anybody say anything about that either? And that's amazing, because this is a huge hit to our economy and to the pockets of the American people. A huge hit. And I don't hear much about it on ABC or CBS.
They may not mention it at all.
Folks, we're being snookered again. I think we better pay attention. Now we're at the point that major trucking firms prepare for imminent diesel shortage in eastern half of U.S. Major trucking fleets across eastern half of U.S. are preparing for an imminent diesel shortage, according to logistics from Freight Waves. Founder and CEO of Freight Waves, Craig Fuller, said three very large fleets are preparing for diesel pumps at fuel stations to run dry. Drivers of these fleets received notification about fuel shortages that could materialize in the coming weeks across the southern states, and also that now it says it's going up to northeastern states. So this is coming, folks, and the price of diesel is going through the roof. My goodness, last I saw it was $5.69 or $5.79 here locally. Our fuel price went up 10 cents today. Yesterday it was $4.25.9, now it's $4.35.9. Now, I didn't pay attention to diesel, but I'm shorting up also. So how much more, Melody, can the common man? We're paying almost $4.50 in West Virginia for a gallon of gas. They're paying $6 a gallon of gas in other places, we'll cover in a minute. How much more can we handle? Financially, how much more can we handle? Now, the Congress is talking about putting price freezes on fuel. That didn't work in the 70s. They put price freezes on everything in the 70s. Didn't help a bit. So the answer, folks, is what Biden is not doing, turning the country loose to produce its own fuel. It isn't happening. But gas prices break record. But diesel prices will greatly affect all Americans and the world. Gas prices an all-time high day of $4.74 per gallon of regular gasoline just 3 weeks before Memorial Day weekend. While Americans will feel this pain each time they go to gas up their vehicles, the worst pain point may be what's happening with the diesel and diesel prices. The average price of diesel is $5.58 per gallon, and in New York it spurts to $6.28 per gallon. With 86% of all things we eat and wear coming from a truck, according to Philip Harris of the United Truck Driving School, this is bound to hurt Americans. And if that's not enough, well over half of all farm equipment runs on diesel. Melody, this is a planned scenario. You know that. They're cutting off oil supplies, food supply. They're shipping our baby food to the border. We can't even get our own food in the country. This cannot be all happening by coincidence worldwide. It can't be happening by coincidence. It's impossible. The odds of it happening and shutting down and 12 to 15 or more food-producing plants, whether it be food processing of vegetables or even poultry, blown up, burned down, and have to kill the chickens and turkeys. This is not a coincidence, folks. This is all being planned to bring us to our knees, and it's working. That's the sad part. It's working. And the American people still don't understand. They don't get it. Any comments on that, Melody?
No, I mean, it's, it truly is a sad state of affairs. And it's, people have credit cards. As long as they can have credit cards, and things have always gotten better, but we're very spoiled. What happens if they don't get better?
I agree. What? I was talking to somebody the other day, and he said, oh, the gas prices come down again. And I don't think it's going to happen like you think it is. I believe we're in for a very hard time ahead financially for the country in a whole lot of different areas. And food prices are one of them. But I have talked to ladies that have children that have told me personally that they're frustrated trying to find baby formula. That's a bad thing to say in a country that once fed the whole world. We can't even feed our own children. It's just frustrating.
That story, I don't think there's ever been a story in a long time that has just blows my mind like that one.
Yeah.
It just really puts everything into perspective. You really can see who's doing what, how, who, what, when, and where. I mean, not to be able to feed babies. I mean, are you kidding me?
Yep.
And the White House knew all about it. The FDA shutting down Abbott's. Well, they've done nothing so they could come back online. I mean, I don't know. And you're right, then sending it down to the border. And yes,
Well, again, this is not coincidence. Obviously, anyone with any common sense can see that this is not a coincidence. This is happening on purpose. Sure, they can see that. Would you agree?
I guess. Agenda. There isn't an agenda out there. But you know what, Butch? When things begin to fall apart, things just fall apart on their own. That's the agenda. You know, things just become what they become. And, you know, when you're drowning, you pop a few times, but, you know, when you're underneath, everything else goes bad, you know? And I think this is what we're experiencing. I think we're just experiencing. We've gotten, you know, and yes, driven by an agenda. I get that. Driven by various agendas. There's more than just one agenda out there. There might be a biggie, but I believe there's multiple agendas. And you can combine them to some degree, but... And I do believe that it is a one world government, a one world order, a one world, you know, the whole ball of wax. That's the agenda. And everything else is just falling into place from everything that they've designed. And, yes. You know, maybe some of the things were, you know, some decent people who thought they were doing. Who knows? But the point is, this is where we're at. I mean, you could look at anything and see where we're headed.
What was the game you played where you remove blocks, have a stack of like blocks, and you remove one at a time to see if you can remove it without the whole thing falling down? What game was that? Do you remember what it was? You build a tower out of blocks and you try to remove the blocks up, and you go, well, that's what they're doing here.
Yes.
You're removing the blocks. And we see it tottering, and it's starting to totter, and it maybe tremble a little bit. But it hasn't fallen yet. When it does start to fall, you can't stop it.
No.
That's the point of this. They're undermining everything. So when it falls, it's going to go.
But.
So there you go.
One thing I have learned, Butch, you can never, ever underestimate their ability and their power to take this thing another day longer. That doesn't mean we're better off. That doesn't mean it doesn't mean that we didn't lose. We have lost. We've lost so many of our freedoms, so many of our liberties, our rights, and everything else. Those are gone.
Well, with the Great Reset, we've been told we'll own nothing and love it.
Yeah.
So, you know, so we it may not end this. We may have food to eat if you follow the rules, but you're going to own nothing.
Do you think we're really going to have food to eat when we can't even feed the babies?
I understand that. I sent out my email blast today. It's an 8-minute DVD that everybody should watch. It's Klaus Schwab and Dr. Harari talking on it, and other people. Everyone needs to watch that. We're close to something really biblically huge about to happen. And it's not years away, folks. It may be a couple, 3 months away. It's not years away. Maybe a couple years on the outside. But I sent you a copy of it, too. You look at the email blast. You'll see that. It's only eight minutes long. It'll make you see where we're going with this. Now they say that we don't need God. We're going to live forever. I'm not making this up. This is for real stuff. And they said, and they make fun of the fact that we have a soul. We don't have. They said we don't have a soul. We don't have free will. Or what's left
over? Not in their world.
Take away. No. Folks, this is for real stuff. It's happening right now as we speak. And they're killing us every way they can financially right now. So people will knuckle under and follow the rules so they can eat.
Right now we're heading into break. We'll be right back.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSE Talk Radio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to Financial Survival. It's Friday, the 13th. It's May. U.S. consumer sentiment approaches 11-year low. Monthly import prices unchanged. U.S. consumer sentiment slumped to its lowest level in nearly 11 years. And, of course, it's worries about inflation persisting, and household spending remains underpinned by a strong labor market and massive savings. The University of Michigan survey on Friday showed the deterioration in sentiment, which some economists had pushed it into recessionary territory. Let me see where the number is at. It did drop quite a bit. It went from dropped. The University of Michigan's preliminary consumer sentiment of index tumbled 9.4% to 59. Now, this is the lowest reading since August of 2011. Economists had been expecting 64. That's a huge drop, almost 9.5%. And so that kind of gives you a little bit of idea of what's going on across the country. The University of Michigan survey's gauge of current economic conditions dropped 8.4%. Now, this was the lowest reading since 2013. 36% of consumers attributed their negative assessment to inflation. And so there you have it. People are beginning to express their impact. Yeah. Well, the impact that it's beginning to have on them.
It's about time we got a little bit upset. They've been nipping at us for a long, long time. But anyway, and I maybe talk about this many, many times over the last few years about cryptocurrencies. You keep telling people they did go up for a while. Some people made money off of them, but it wasn't a safe place to keep your wealth stored, and that's been proven right now. Cryptocurrencies melt down in a perfect storm of fear and panic. The price of Bitcoin plunged to its lowest point since 2020. Coinbase, the largest cryptocurrency exchange, tanked in value. A cryptocurrency that promoted itself as a stable means of exchange collapsed. And more than $300 billion wiped out by a crash in cryptocurrency price since Monday. Crypto went down into a full meltdown this week in a sell-off that graphically illustrated the risk of experimental and unregulated digital currencies. Even celebrities such as Kim Kardashian and tech moguls like Elon Musk have talked up crypto. The accelerating declines of virtual currencies like Bitcoin and Ether show that, in some cases, 2 years of financial gains can disappear overnight. Now, I'll make a point in one word here. The accelerating decline of virtual currencies. It's not even called a currency, folks. It's a virtual. It's not real. You have paper, it's a currency. But at least it's something you got in your hand. You can feel it. This is not a digital computer. You can. It's still there. But this is virtual currencies. The moment of panic amounted in the worst reset in cryptocurrency since Bitcoin plummeted 80% in 2018. But this time, the falling prices have broader impact because more people and institutions hold the currencies. Critics said the collapse was long overdue, while some traders compared the alarm and fear to the start of a 2008 financial crisis. This is like the perfect storm, said Dan DeLove, an analyst who covers crypto companies and financial technology at the Mizuho Group. So, Melody told you, don't do it. I mean, if you get involved early and cashed out, you may come out ahead. But don't count on it in a place to save for the future and the needs of what you're going to have to do. Don't count on it for that reason, please. Mel just said, of course, he mentioned that stablecoin collapsed to zero. It did go back up. But that, Mel, if I had something went to zero and bounced back up, I'd be a little concerned about tomorrow, wouldn't you?
I would, and because you just have no ability to quickly withdraw those funds either.
No, you don't.
You know, somebody sent me a video. I hope I can remember. I'm going to do it real short. There's this island, and I probably shouldn't do it until I do, but I'm going to try. There was this island, and with native people on this island, and there was a lot of monkeys on the island. So this person came in, and he says, I'll buy all your monkeys, all the monkeys that you can collect, for $15. So the natives went out, got all the monkeys, came back, and he paid them $15. Month goes by, he comes back, he says, I'll pay you $50 for all of the monkeys that you can collect. He says, but I got to go on an errand, and he says, I'll be back in a couple of days, so go and collect all, and I'll pay you $50. So his partner was there, and he told the natives, he says, I'll tell you what. He says, I'll just play it on Monday. It's funny, it's cute, but it really describes what the cryptocurrencies is all about and how you can get, how it's just a scam, how it's just a multi-level marketing Ponzi scheme, Butch. Do I have Butch?
I'm here, yeah, I'm right here. I just think when he's telling about that, how can a virtual anything be of value? Let that sink in a minute. It's not real. It's virtual. How's it valuable? Can you explain it to me?
Well, are you still there? The value is a perceived value of the people.
That's what they're conned.
They're conned into believing it's valuable.
And it's
they're lying
with the dollar bill. Same thing, dollar mm-hmm. bill. We think it's valuable.
Yep.
So we go out and bust our buns to earn a few bucks. But it's a piece of paper that we think is good. That's why we use it. So if the dollar is really worthless, how much more worthless is a virtual currency that actually does not exist except on a computer somewhere? I don't know. Maybe I'm just looking this the wrong direction, but it doesn't make any sense to me at all. Not at all. And I guess you heard that they wanted to give the Ukraine another $40 billion. You heard that, right?
I know it. Rand Paul stopped it.
Yeah, I'm gonna share that too. We have people here that can't afford to buy baby food or gas for the cars, and we're going to send Ukraine $40 billion.
After all that we've already sent them, and that probably doesn't include any of the weapons and so forth that we've sent them.
Oh no, no, don't count that at all. No, no.
Mm-mm. Mm-mm.
Defiant U.S. Senator Rand Paul stymies effort to pass $40 billion Ukraine aid bill. The top Democrat and Republican in the U.S. Senate joined forces in a rare moment of unity on Thursday in an attempt to pass $40 billion in aid for Ukraine, only to be stymied by a single Republican lawmaker, Senator Rand Paul. And folks, these two agree, the Democrat-Republican leaders of the Senate, believe me, they both agree on most things. Faced with the prospect of an extended delay for the package that passed the House of Representatives on Tuesday, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Republican counterpart Mitch McConnell, sought to move forward on this aid package, only to be blocked by Paul, a longtime fiscal hawk who objects to the amount of spending proposed. The stalemate delayed passage of the measure until next week. Good. Excellent, Mr. Paul. And, you know, I interviewed him on the radio program four or five times before he became a senator. Help him try to get a few votes, because I thought, well, he was a good idea. His daddy was a good man in Congress. I wanted Rand Paul to Senate. And I applaud him for this. I do. people in America actually think that Ukraine is the innocent party here. But folks, we've got to get over that notion. It ain't true. It ain't true. I'll share this, and I want to do a good news story, too, for a night time, because it's really important. Tyrannical government of Canada will pay to euthanize those who are too poor to continue living with dignity. How you like that, Melody?
Where is that from?
Canada. That's from Gateway Pundit.
Wow.
Crippling inflation, homelessness, skyrocketing crime, supply shortage, depression, all of which come in hand in hand with the radical liberal policies that promise to take care of the supposedly oppressed and the financially downtrodden. However, in Canada, the public health experts are trying out a more ghastly approach to solving people's issues. If people accept the evil proposal, the problems will be taken care of once and for all, quite literally. As of last year, the Canadian government is now offering to pay to euthanize people who are too poor to continue living with dignity. Anyone who feels as such, the tyrannical state would like to foot the bill for their suicide. Yes, really. Like things weren't dystopian enough with the lockdowns and oppressive public health measures, killing the poor because they lack enough dignity to live. That's a far cry from typical social programs that are championed by the radical left. Melody, Melody, Melody. How did we go that far? Even in Canada, that's just unthinkable. And something, Aurora dog bark law. City limits how long a dog can bark. I'm not making this up, folks. A city in Chicago suburbs is regulating how long a dog can bark. Aurora has approved the new excessive noise law. The dog barks more than 15 minutes, so be sure he has a watch on, so you'll know. At a time between 7 a.m. and 10 p.m., the owner could get a $100 ticket. Neighbors will need to make recordings or find mobile witnesses to report a violation. The city is also limiting how many cats or dogs a household can have as pets at one time. The new law limits a family to have 4 pets, only 2 of them without approval from the city's animal control agency. Ferrets, rabbits, guinea pigs, and hamsters fall under the same rules. So we're down to regulating how long your dog can bark, Billy.
Wow.
Mm-mm-mm. And I got to share this, and I'll get the good news. These are kind of silly, but I thought I would sell them. Now, listen to this, Mel. You pay attention to this, because this got me
hit
one
day. I am, I am.
Calling a man bald is considered sexual harassment.
Are you bald?
Really, not quite, but I've got thinning here, but I still got enough comb, but I ain't got a lot left. Now, this is UK, folks, but still, it's ridiculous. The ruling comes in a case between a veteran electrician and his employers. Tony Finn, 64, claimed he had been a victim of sexual harassment when his colleague said he was a bald, and I'll leave the next word out. A man calling me bald and sexual harassment, employment tribunal has ruled. Tony Finn, 64, he had claimed he had been a victim of sexual harassment when his manufacturing firm colleague said he was a bald. The panel sitting at Sheffield agreed that and compared it to when someone mentions a woman's breast. There we are.
Wow.
I mean, it gets more insane every day. Every day. Now for some good news.
Okay.
Jesus Christ died to provide for you. Woman shares tear-jerking encounter with needy family at gas station. Keep your tissues handy while reading this heartwarming encounter of a woman who put the love of God into action at a gas station. Nicole Marie Hines has written a first-hand account of what happened that day, and the now viral article was shared by Love What Matters on social media. She shares that she was returning home from work and had to stop for gas. As she pulled up to the pumps and shut her car off, she saw the middle-aged man crying as he looked at the gas pump. She wondered what must have happened when the man got out of the car to check on him. It was 10 degrees and freezing cold in Apple Valley, Minnesota, and the man was wearing flip-flops with his socks covered in holes. She saw his car, looked at his wife in the front seat, covering her face in her hands, and the 2 teenage daughters cuddling under a blanket in the back seat. She walked up to him and asked, "Is there something the matter?" He burst into tears and said, "I can't even provide for my family." Without thinking twice, she put her card in the machine and told him, "Jesus Christ, Son of God, died to provide for you. Fill up." Something came alive in him. He was in shock and it was like he forgot how to pump gas. His wife got out of the car and asked her husband what was going on, and he told her that she had just paid for her gas. She began to cry. and came around the corner to shake her hand. She saw that the woman's pants were dirty and torn and asked her to come to her car. The airport had lost some of her luggage while she was on her way to Minnesota from California. She had to clean out her closet to find stuff to wear and get rid of a lot of stuff. Most of the stuff that she wanted to give away was sitting in the back seat of the car and in the trunk. So she opened up the car and told the lady to take what she wanted from there. The woman ran back to her car and brought her two girls back with her. They were going through her clothes, laying her sweatshirts and shirts and sweatpants over the worn-out clothes they had been wearing. The father finished pumping the gas and came over and stood there. And soon there was a little crowd beginning to gather at the gas station. An older man gave the family a gift card. Another middle-aged man gave away his jacket to the father. There was a pouring of love never seen before at the gas station by total strangers. The woman concludes saying their hope that God's love is so contagious and that we are not alone trying to bring change in the world. God's love is bigger than anything, and that he is a provider, and we are only small catalysts in his plan. Amen. How's that for a beautiful story?
Oh, that's very nice.
I mean, right on the spot. Provide them gas in the car, clothes for the mother and the daughters, and give his coat to the man that didn't have a coat. Folks, this can happen in this country still. Thank God there's good people left. I do this every week in the program because we hear bad news, and it is bad news. Our world and nation is going to hell, but there's still some people left, and Jesus Christ, she said, died to provide for you. She let Christ work through her that day. Let us do the same every day. Take time, if you have a blessing, and I mean a blessing, to help somebody, do it. Do it. It's a blessing. More blessings to give than to receive. So try to do that every day. At least tell somebody you love them or care for them. Melody, what do you want to say in closing?
Well, you know, I think that's one of the nicer stories that you've given. So thank you.
Well, you're welcome.
And yes, and that takes us just to the end of the program. So I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. And until Monday, Greg Hunter will be here with us on Monday. So until then, be safe, good night, and God bless.
I work all night, I work all day, and pay the bills I have to pay. Ain't it sad? And still there never seems to be a single penny left for me. That's too bad.